territory, from Argentina to Colorado, was a sprawling enterprise undertaken by hundreds of principals from radically different backgrounds. But it was not so. The conquistadors who succeeded Columbus and locked much of the Americas under Spanish rule were a tight circle of like-minded individuals, many of them from harsh boyhoods in the Extremadura, some even related by blood, and most schooled in indistinguishable realities. Vasco Núñez de Balboa, who discovered the Pacific, Hernán Cortés, who conquered the Aztecs, Pedro de Alvarado, who conquered Cuba, aided Cortés in Mexico, and then went on to subjugate much of Central America, Francisco Pizarro, who conquered the Incas, Pedro de Valdivia, who founded what is now Chile, Francisco de Orellana, who explored the Amazon and founded what is now Ecuador, and Hernando de Soto, who explored Indian territory from Florida to Arkansas, all hailed from within 50 miles of one another in the impoverished, drought-ridden, impossibly torrid highlands of western Spain. The links can be surprising. Balboa claimed the same dusty little birthplace as de Soto. Pizarro was born an easy day's ride from Cortés's childhood home. Indeed, Pizarro, Cortés, and Orellana were all distant cousins and served in the same expeditions. Nicolás de Ovando, the governor who brought Pizarro and Cortés to the New World, was also related to both. Balboa was son-in-law to his commanding officer. Cortés was brother-in-law to his. But perhaps the greatest bond among these men was that they were sons of war. Their fathers, uncles, cousins had battled the Italians, the French, the Moors, and they had all inherited a strong loyalist and fighting spirit. Conquering the Americas was truly an enterprise of brothers. As the great historian of Latin American conquest, John Heming, once wrote, "The men who went on these ventures were not mercenaries. They received no pay from the expedition's leader. They were adventurers who took passage to the Americas in the hope of making their fortunes. In the early days of conquests, any reward for these desperados had to come from the Indians themselves. They were predators hoping for easy plunder. Their food and personal service came from the Indians they hoped to rob. The Spanish adventurers were like packs of hounds, roaming the interior to pick up a scent of gold. They sailed across the Atlantic full of bravado and ambition and then filled the tiny coastal settlements, hoping to grow rich as parasites on the native population." It stands to reason, then, that these men, far from home, tied by blood, fueled by personal ambition, were well aware of one another's successes and failures. Pizarro had studied Cortés's strategies of conquest meticulously. He had pored over every move and countermove his young cousin had employed to bring the Mexican Empire to its knees. By 1522, when he first heard about Cortés's remarkable exploits, Pizarro had been a stolid, reliable soldier of fortune with extensive lands, one of the wealthiest residents of Panama. He had worked his way into Governor Pedrarias Dávila's confidence by conquering the Pearl Islands. He had proven his loyalty by arresting his own leader, Balboa, and bringing him to a harsh justice. He had raided villages, capturing Indians for the lucrative slave trade. But Pizarro was nearing 50 and still answering to others, waiting for destiny's doors to fling open and offer a greater prize. That opportunity arose in 1523. When Pascual de Andagoya, a Basque colleague, returned to Panama from an exploratory trip down the San Juan River in what is now Colombia. Andagoya's reports were transfixing. He told of great wealth just beyond reach, just south of the most southerly point he had reached, and he described how he had discovered, conquered, and pacified Piru. The Piru Andagoya had found was a pugnacious chieftain who ruled the wilds of Chochama, and had attacked him in vicious battle. Once vanquished, Piru had become useful to Andagoya, schooling him in the region and informing him about the powerful white king of the south, whose colossal empire, he said, was bursting with metal riches. But for all Andagoya's successes, his foothold on the continent, his self-appointed rule over the green valleys of Cali and Popayan, he had returned to Panama wasted by battle and illness, too frail to return to the realm of Piru.